Anyway, couldn't you really? Well, there we go. Okay. I just got some notes here just in case I want them later. Hey, it's so good to be back in twinning. Up the M5 for me, this is. So, it's cool. Anybody enjoying the ladies' football at the moment? We're going to win it. I think we are. Do you know, we've got the best manager in the world, haven't we? So, who knows? Today, actually, let me just pray a sec. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing me back to twinning. I love being here. I love these people. I just pray, Lord Jesus, that you will talk to us and speak to us through these words of yours. And thank you for this opportunity of being in your presence today. This is a special day. Amen. Amen. Cool. I want to try and convince you today that the Ascension teaches us vital things about our faith and who we are as a Christian. Okay? So we're going to go on a journey. But first of all, I want you to imagine in your mind a place, a person, and an animal. In specifically, the place is the temple. Old Testament or New Testament, okay? Put that in your mind. Then think of a priest, the high priest, right? Visualize him in the temple. And then I want you to imagine a sheep that is so good looking that it would win best of breed at your royal showground. It's that good looking. But it's got a rope around its neck, okay? And it's in the temple with the priest. So we know what's going to happen, don't we? Yeah? At some point, the priest will sacrifice the animal in the temple for the forgiveness of someone's sins, or for the people's sins. And he'll lose his blood. And this went on for hundreds and hundreds of years, just like that. And that was the way of God was intervening with his people. Okay, Old Testament, we know that, don't we? But Jesus came to replace all of that. And what did he replace it with? Himself, yeah. Jesus replaced the old covenant with Jesus. And we can see that, can't we? So, temple-wise, John, in his gospel, he says, oh, the word of God's going to come and dwell amongst us. So we're going to have this walking presence in a person. That person is Jesus. And he even describes himself as the temple. He says, I'm going to tear down the temple, yeah, and rebuild it within 3 days. And of course, he's talking about his body. And the temple was a place of overlap between heaven and earth. It's where God wanted to dwell. Okay. Now, in the temple is the high priest. So, the high priest is the person, if you like, where there's an overlap between heaven and earth. He's the anointed one. He's the one you're supposed to look at and see God. If in anybody you can see God, it's supposed to be in this godly, anointed high priest figure. And right from the first one, Aaron, right up to Jesus' time in Caiaphas, none of them, some did better than others, but none of them really fulfilled that anointed role. All of their failures pointed towards the one that was to come, the Messiah, who would be the ultimate high priest. Yeah? Now, what does the priest do? Priest orchestrates worship. He plays for people's forgiveness, for their needs, their sicknesses. And he prays blessings on people. And Jesus came and fulfilled that role. And if you were, say, let's give an example. If you were a synagogue leader at Capernaum and your daughter was about to die, would you go to Jerusalem and find the high priest, or would you find the crowd and throw yourself at the feet of Jesus and say, please come to my house, my daughter's dying? And as Jesus is walking towards Jairus' house, a woman has been bleeding downstairs for years and seen all sorts of doctors. Where's she going to go if she wants a slice of God? You know, she wants her healing. Where's she going to go? She's going to push her way through the crowd and touch the hem of his garment, because that's where the action is. That's where God is. That's where the overlap between heaven and earth is, in Jesus. Yeah? And then there's the third aspect, the sacrificial aspect. And as we look at the life of Jesus, it is beautiful as we read it. And he lives sacrificially for others. But also, of course, he got to the cross. And that's as we have communion, remembering what he does on the cross. And he is tearing down the temple, yeah, on the cross. And even though there's been a series of events that have led to it, he's chosen to be there. Because he is the high priest. And he has chosen to be on that cross, tearing down the temple. And he's chosen the sacrifice. You see? What sacrifice has he chosen? He's chosen himself. John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus, he said, "Oh, lo, behold, the Lamb of God who comes to forgive the sins of the world." And here he is on the cross. He's tearing down the temple. He's praying for this sacrifice. He's giving this sacrifice of himself to do what? To forgive people. But actually, because of it's Jesus, because it's his, the lifeblood of Jesus, this flawless person who is the Son of God is dying. The power in his blood is so great that it's able to forgive all people for all time, future, past, and present. You know? And as he does this, as he dies on the cross, he's got so much power flowing through him because of his sacrifice that he's risen from the dead, isn't he? He's resurrected, still with his resurrection power inside of him. Now, it's interesting, isn't it? Because now his body, he's still got the same body. You look, scars, look, side, but it's modified through his experiences. He's now able to sort of appear and disappear, isn't he? In his resurrection appearances. So for the next period, he's not doing evangelism. He's meeting with his followers and he's encouraging them and teaching them about the kingdom of God in light of what they've seen happen now. So he's preparing them for something, isn't he? And then we get to just over 5 weeks or so, he gathers people together just outside of Bethany. Now, Bethany was where he started a few weeks earlier. He started going for his procession, his triumphal entry into Jerusalem in humility on a donkey. Yeah, but now he's going to go on another triumphal journey, another triumphal entry, this time into heaven. Yeah, second triumphal entry. But first of all, he's got some last instructions for his disciples. And he says, "You will be witnesses." You see, there's no choice about it. They need to be witnesses. In where? In Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria. And they've sort of already been doing this. But now he levels them up. And he says, to the ends of the earth as well. So this is interesting, isn't it? Because on earth, when Jesus is there, he is their power source. You know, he anoints them, they plug into him, and he goes out. They go out and do their amazing things for Jesus with him there. But now he's going up to heaven, isn't he? He's leaving them. And he says, okay, you will get power, but you'll get power from above, but you've got to wait for it. You know, it was actually another 10 days, roughly. They had to wait. But so they're there watching Jesus. As he says this, then Luke takes the narrative of the ascension, doesn't he? Two things happen. First is he's lifted up. And the second thing is a cloud comes and envelops him. I wonder if one of the reasons we don't talk much about the ascension is we find these verses a little bit difficult with our 21st century cosmology. Because we think, oh yeah, so Jesus, up he goes. Oh, is he in a cloud? Where's he now? On the edge of the atmosphere? Is he off to the Milky Way? What happens next? You know, we're sort of thinking, oh, this is a bit daft, isn't it? But of course, Luke is not writing like that. Luke is tying into the prophecies. You know, Isaiah talks about Jesus, the Messiah coming, the Messiah being high and lifted up. And you have a throne above the stars of God. And then these wonderful words from Daniel. I want to read them out again to you. In my vision, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man. Yeah, which is what they called him as he was going on his first triumphal entry into Jerusalem. A son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancients of Days, God the Father, and was led into his presence. Just imagine that. This is what's about to happen. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. This image of what's about to happen. Now, so, I don't know what the cloud was like. It may have been like the cloud that came down on the Mount of Transfiguration, full of light, or it may be in just a rain cloud, but the cloud envelops him and he's gone, isn't he? And he's on the next stage of his journey. In fact, he's finishing his journey, but his body changes again. His body's now a transcended body because he's got to sit at the right-hand side of the Father. That's what the scriptures tell us. There's a throne waiting for him, whatever that looks like spiritually, but there's a throne waiting for him at the right-hand side of the Father, where he's going to be made king. Amen? He was always sort of seen as king because when the wise man came, they said, oh, where is the one born to be king of the Jews? On his cross, Jesus of Nazareth, king of the Jews. But he's not enthroned. And we had a boy in the 50s called Charlie, 3 years old, was king in waiting. And he waited 70 years, didn't he? Until his mother, Elizabeth, bless her, passed away. And then he's king, but he's still got to wait 10 months until he's enthroned. And then we can see his commitment to the crown, you see? So without the ascension, there is no enthronement. I love a big event. You probably gather that by now. And I reckon, the triumphal entry into heaven would have been the big event. I think if I was an angel, I'd be up all night trying to get tickets for it. Because, it's crashed again. I want to get these tickets. You'd want to be there, wouldn't you? What a journey Jesus has been on. I mean, John's gospel starts by telling us he's there at the beginning of creation. Yeah? So some type of this triune God, it's spirit, and through Jesus all things are created. And then inside they would send Jesus, the character of Jesus in the Godhead, down to earth to be born a baby. So they lose Jesus from heaven, and then he's there 30 odd years, and then he gets crucified, and then he's resurrected, and now he's on his way back to complete his journey to be crowned king. And as king, he's also now the high priest in heaven. Yeah, so he's now representing us in heaven. This is good news for us, because sat at the right hand side of the Father is one who brings his humanity back into heaven, back into the Godhead. And he is the perfect person to be able to intercede for us, to answer our prayers, to fight on our behalf. Okay, so that's a picture. I know it's a lot, but can you get your head around this? What is missing, though? What's missing on earth now? Because for hundreds of years, you've got this process of temple priest sacrifice where God dwells, yeah? Jesus replaces it with Jesus, and he's on earth with them. But he's not there now, is he? So there's this gap. There's no place, if you like, where the earth and heaven overlaps at this moment, because Jesus is back in heaven. So what does Jesus do? You know, I guess from a human point of view, 10 days to settle in to his new role. And then what does he do? He sends the Holy Spirit, okay? And this is so important. He's enthroned as king. He sends his Holy Spirit to be with who? His followers, isn't it? Now, what is missing from earth? The body of Jesus has gone up to heaven, but he's got a body left on earth. He's been developing a body which he's left behind. Who is that body? It's ourselves. Now, it was the disciples, the followers, which is basically us. The body of Christ is us. So he sends the Holy Spirit down as his enthroned king to live and dwell in us. So suddenly we are now the temple, aren't we? Because he's living in us. I was thinking about this, because sometimes we say, oh, I've got Jesus in me, I've got God in me. And the Holy Spirit is living in us, but the Holy Spirit is part of that triune God, isn't he? He's part of the Trinity and has the nature of God. So I think it's okay to say Jesus in me, because the Holy Spirit has the nature of Jesus, has the nature of the Father. The creativity of Jesus, the love of the Father is in the nature of the Holy Spirit. But what the Bible tells us is that Jesus is not on earth now. He's enthroned in heaven. He is the king of all the cosmos. And we have Jesus living within us. So we are the place of the temple. But we're also the high priest. Why is that? Because we are now the person, individual, with the spirit in us that can do what the high priest did. And what did he do? He orchestrated worship to God, which is what we've been doing. Yeah? He prayed for people. He did forgave them. He interceded for them. He prayed for their sicknesses. We can do that. You know, I've been so fortunate in my ministry to see many healing miracles. Blind eyes seeing, deaf ears opening. One lad I prayed for with a face tumor, and the face tumor went. It's very moving, but you can see the power of God is in us, can be in us, to do the things that Jesus did, that the disciples did. We can be that high priest. But we can also be a sacrifice in the way we live, in what we do with our lives, in what we do with our income. We can live sacrificially for others. You know, when we became Christians, we effectively died to our old selves, yeah? It keeps knocking back on our doors, doesn't it? And our old habits keep coming back, but essentially we've died to the world and we're living again for Christ with the Holy Spirit in us. When I was working, doing voluntary work on an estate in Cheltenham, I met an old man I knew very well called Johnny. Johnny'd had 16 children through two different wives, and most of them had been in trouble with the police at some point. I'd been to court with three of them, including Crown Court with his 14-year-old daughter. So he's quite a character. And I was going around his house, old man now, and doing some chores, got some tea for him. I walked into his door, into his house, and he looks at me, and quite unexpectedly, he says, "You are Jesus." And I recoiled at that, you know. I said, "No, no, Johnny, you know, Jesus is perfect. I'm nowhere near perfect." He said, "You are Jesus to me." And I said, well, who else then? Who else, he said. And I realized I was the only Christian active in his life. So I think back to that. I think if he was spot on, you know. Because if I'm not Jesus to him, who's going to be Jesus to Johnny? And when Jesus would place the old covenant with himself, he ascends to heaven as king, but he replaces himself on earth by us, doesn't he? You know, I am Jesus, you are Jesus, to the people in my life, to people in your lives, especially those that have no other Christian input. So I just want to finish by encouraging you today. Identity. You know, I am a temple. I have the Holy Spirit in me. And yes, I do wrong. Yes, I fall down. But I am still a living temple where the Holy Spirit dwells. I have this. He can intercede for me with Jesus. And Jesus intercedes for the Father. And my prayers go up. My answers come down. My blessings come down. As I pray, as I intercede, I am that temple. I am that. So I want to encourage you to do that. But also, I want to encourage you to pray with boldness and confidence. You know, you're anointed into your positions as followers of Jesus. You know, you have the authority and power to pray prayers for people. You don't always see the answers, but you can pray big prayers, push into those prayers, and you'll be amazed at what God does do. I'm sure you've all got testimonies to that. And finally, live sacrificially. You know, let's live our lives. Give the opportunity we've got to live for others, to support others, to help them, to love them, to encourage them. Because we've got a King of Heaven looking down on us, having sent us his Holy Spirit, who's smiling over us today. You know, he's dwelling amongst us as I speak, and he's smiling over us from heaven. And we just want to give thanks to him for the privileges he gives us as followers of Jesus. Amen? And thank you for being with us today. Let's pray. I just want to pray, Jesus, you know, you are our ascended King. And we give you thanks and praise for the privilege, Lord Jesus, of representing you on earth. Just help us. Help us be your body on earth, being places of overlap where heaven meets earth, as temples, as priests, and as living sacrifices. May we be your light in the darkness. And may we spread your love to a needy world. Amen. Amen. Thank you.